But we're going to be, if you have a Bible, oh, did anyone bring their Bible?
No, but I brought a book. Does that count?
No, it doesn't. But remember, if you bring your Bible, you got to hide too, okay? But if you have your phone or something, you can look up 1 John 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 John 4, 7 through 11, all right? 7 through 11. Yeah, 7-11. Okay, last week, if you remember, John has been talking, he's been talking a lot about what it means to be a child of God, okay? What does it mean to be a child of God? That's what John's been talking about a lot throughout these first three chapters that we've been, okay? Last week, we talked about that to be a child, it actually kind of means when we're children of God, we look like him. We reflect what God looks like. Logan kind of shared how, because, like, Logan kind of reminds him of his dad. Like, Logan can look at himself sometimes and be like, oh, I see my dad in me, right? Because the people, like, that are our parents, we reflect them, right, in different ways. Or the people that we spend a lot of time with, the people that we look up to, we reflect them. And so that's kind of what it means to be a child of God, is what John was getting at and what Logan was talking about last week. This week, John is getting into what it actually means to know God. What does it actually mean to know God? Okay, how are our lives going to look differently because we know God? In John highlights one specific change in these few verses of how our lives will change, how our lives will look different because we know God. All right, and if you look at your little booklet, the main point says God is love. Because the one change that John highlights in these verses is love. A huge change in our life when we know God is that we are going to be, love is going to be a defining characteristic of our lives. All right, so let me read the passage. And then we'll get into it. All right, 1 John 4, 7 through 11. Dear friends, John says, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. Let me pray real quick. God, we thank you for your love for us. Even just in reading these few verses, we are reminded that you love us and you want what's best for us. You even when we are against you, even when we're against those around us, even when we don't love you and we don't love those around us how we should, you love us. And you actually sent Jesus to die to show us how much you love us, to give us life. So God, as we just spend these next few moments thinking about what it means to know you, for our lives to be changed by you, would you speak to us and would you give us ears that are open and listening? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You guys know sometimes, probably you know this, like when someone is like doing something and they're like, oh, if I looked up the word funny in a dictionary, like your picture would be right there next to it. You guys heard that before, right?
No.
Yes, you have. Yes, you guys have, right?
No.
Okay, if there was a word in the dictionary with your picture next to it, what would the word be?
Jackie.
Silly Billy.
Jackie? Okay, wow. Good. Did you say Silly Billy? Silly Billy. Okay, we got Jackie, we got Silly Billy. What else we got? Did you say?
No.
Okay, think about it.
I said
fun.
Fun? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. We got fun, Jackie, Silly Billy. Mine would be like super relevant, really cool. No, just like really cool, relevant, amazing.
Girl Dad.
What? Dad. Girl Dad. Anyone else?
Probably Bussin.
Bussin? Yes. Uh-huh. Bussin. Anyone over here besides Griffin? Word in the dictionary with your picture next to it? Zaire, did you write one down?
Nope.
Oh. I was just thrilled to hear what you said. Well, John says in these few verses, John says that there is a word, okay, that if there was a word with God's picture in it next to in the dictionary, if there was a word with God's picture next to it, that word would be love. All right? In verse 8, it says this. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. The one that does not love does not know God because God is love. You know, John says that the way that we can be sure that we know God is if we love him, right? If you have a Bible and you look at verse 7, I'll also read it. John says this: everyone who loves has been born of God, right? Kind of everyone who loves has been born of God. So everyone, remember last week we were talking about children, what it means to be a child of God. We look like God because God is love. Because God is love, if we are born of God, then we will be loving, right? Everyone who has been born of God and knows God. Oh, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And that's because God is love, right? It says that in verse 8, God is love. So if we are born of God and we are his children, just like Logan talked about last week, our parents' DNA is passed down to us, right? Like we have the same DNA as our parents. We look like them in different ways, kind of like we were talking about last week. And if God is love and we are his children and we have this relationship with him, then we are going to be bent toward love just like God is, right? Just like God is love. If we are his children, we're going to be bent toward love just like he is. So how can you be sure that you know God? How can you be sure that you are a child of God and that you know him? And I think John says something pretty simple. It's by love. By love. And we'll get into this a little bit more, okay? But before we do, do you guys ever, I don't know if you guys actually do this, but do you ever like go online and take like a personality test kind of? Or like what kind of if you were a sea animal, what sea animal would you be? And then it asks you like a bunch of different questions, like, oh, choose your favorite drink, and you choose like Kool-Aid or like lemonade or, and then like, okay, for example, I went online today and I was like, what kind of what's it called? Pastry am I, okay? So had me answer these different questions because I want to figure out what kind of pastry I was, all right? So it said like, oh, what kind of breakfast would you choose? And there was like coffee and pancakes and waffles, and I chose coffee. And then it said like, what kind of dessert would you choose? And I chose a milkshake. And there were like different answers. And finally it got to my answer, and it told me that the kind of pastry I am is a croissant. All right? I don't know what the other pastry options were, but apparently I'm a croissant. And it said this, I'm a croissant because, where is it? Oh, I'm classy and definitely the popular one in my friend group. All right? Because that's what croissants are. They're classy and popular. All right? And so somehow from answering all those questions, it found out that I was a croissant. All right? I like chocolate croissants. Yeah. I like croissants. But, you know, those are just silly things, like those little tests that maybe you do sometimes. Yes, Sebastian?
I've only taken one test, and it's to see, like, what level or something I am in Harry Potter. I'm a Hufflepuff.
Yes, yeah, probably you have. Has anyone else found out their Harry Potter house?
Apparently, I'm a disappointment.
What are you? Gryffindor. Nice, a classic. Chuck, you are Gryffindor. Yeah.
And I'm a Hufflepuff because I don't.
But you know what? You know something. If there was a BuzzFeed article or like an article like this of like who is your God? Okay. There. Think about the answers that you might give. All right. What kind of answers would you give that would lead you to the final answer of the one true God, Yahweh? Like, what kind of answers might you give? Someone is like, who is your God? What would you say? Like, your God is,
loving.
What do you say?
Loving.
Uh-huh.
Just.
Yeah, just. Uh-huh.
My God is silly.
But if it asks things about your life, right? Like, if it was like, oh, tell me about your life and I'll tell you who your God is. What kind of things would you say about your life? Like, maybe we'd say things like, oh, I pray a lot, right? I go to church. I serve a lot. I like going on mission trips and doing all these things. I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do. I don't say the things I'm not supposed to say. And we might think that by giving these answers, someone might be able to figure out that God is our God, right? Like when we tell them, I'm a Christian because I don't say bad words and I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do and I go to church every Sunday. And someone might be like, oh, okay, I could see how God could be your God. But actually, you can do all these things and not have love. And Paul talks about this I forget what book he talked about this, but you can be like a noisy symbol. You can be the loudest, most religious person, the best person, the most polished person on the outside. But if you don't have love, it's essentially worthless. It's not a reflection of actually who God is. Because you can know all the right things. You can do all the right things. You can say all the right things. You can come to church and read your Bible and pray. But John says that we don't know God by doing all these, by just only doing these things. But we know God by love. By the love that we have. and also love that God has for us, for you. And all those things are really good. Reading your Bible, praying, going to church, being in community with others. But at the core of it, if it's not based in God's love, in your love for others, in your love for God, and God's love for us, it's essentially just a skeleton of actually what it could be. It's not breathing and alive. But you know what? It's really hard to love. Isn't it hard to love other people? You don't think so, Jackie?
No.
You don't think so? Really? Okay. But I was going to bet that you guys knew that it was hard to love, but I guess not for Jackie. But because you know what? God shows us in verse 10, Jackie, you might realize that actually is hard to love in a second, but if not, let me know. God shows us what real love is in verse 10, okay? John says this. Love consists in this. Okay, so this is what love is. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. I'm going to read that again. This is what love is. This is what John is saying. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. And this is why I think love is difficult. All right, Jackie? Love is difficult because it means that we want what's best for another person, that we want what is good for another person, what's going to be the best and good for them, even when they don't want what's best for us. Right? This is what John is saying. This is what love is. Not that we love God. A lot of time we actually have turned our back on God. And we say, we don't care about you, God. We don't want you. But God still loves us, even when we don't want him. God still wants what's best for you, even when we don't care about him. That's what love is. And that's why it's hard, right? Think about it. With your sibling, okay? If you have a brother or a sister, love can be hard because love means wanting what is best for them, even when they're annoying and mean and just terrible to you. That's what love is. Wanting what is best for your sister or brother when they seemingly hate you, right? Or think about this, okay? Putting yourself aside, okay? And wanting what's best for your parents, even when you feel unnoticed or overlooked, or like they don't care about you, or like they just are there to give you chores all the time, or whatever. Wanting what's best for them, even when you feel hurt by them, right? Or maybe this, putting yourself aside, okay, and desiring goodness for the kid, for the random kid at school that you barely know, right? Even though it might be awkward and it might look weird to other people, it might hurt your reputation, right? That's actually what love is. Love isn't just like these happy feelings that we have, and wanting what's best for people when they want what's best for us, being kind to people when they're kind to us. But love is actually wanting what's best for someone else, even when they don't care about you, even when they hate you, even when they don't want what's best for you. That's why love is so difficult. What do you think, Jackie? Maybe coming around to love is difficult a little bit. Love is difficult, right? Because it's working towards wholeness for someone else, even when they don't want wholeness for you or for themselves. Right? Sometimes you might want to love someone and help them, but maybe they don't care. And that can also make love difficult. But here's the amazing thing. I'm just going to end with a few more thoughts, okay? Here's the super amazing thing. John gives all of you a challenge in verse 11, okay? If you want to write this challenge down, you can. John says this in verse 11. Dear friends, okay, he's calling all of us friends. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, if God sent his son to die on the cross, even though we turned our backs on him, then we must also love one another. Dear friends, if God loved you in this way, we must also love one another. You know, this is a challenge, but you know what? In this challenge, there's also some super amazing news, okay? God has loved us. God has loved you in this way. God doesn't love you just when you desire him, just when you're perfect, just when you know all the answers, just when you want just when you love other people and you love God perfectly. That's not how God's love works. God wants what's best for you. He wants you to be healthy and whole and have life that's found in him, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how you feel about God. Even when you don't want it yourself, God wants what's best for you. Even when you're against God, even when you're angry or doubting, or you want nothing to do with God, God wants what's best for each and every one of you guys. Because again, in verse 8, God is love. That's just who God is. And nothing can change this truth. Nothing can change this truth about who God is. So I want to end with these words, all right? To love is really difficult, okay? It is really difficult. It's hard to really love people, especially when they don't care about us. It's hard. But here's one thing. Let's try our best to love those around us, okay? It's not a bad thing to try to love other people. It's good, even when they don't care about you. It's good to know. It's good. That's actually how we can know God, is by loving others and loving God. That's one way that we can know God, right? But here's the even more amazing part. Even when you fail to love God, even when you fail to love the people around you, even when you don't want what's best for them, and actually you kind of want them to fail or hurt or just not have a good time in life, even when you fail to love people around you, even when you fail to love God, the amazing news is that God still loves you. God still loves you. He still wants what's best for you. Because this is what love is, right? And God is love. So just think about that. These next few days, this next week. God, we can love because God loved us. We should love because God loved us, because we experience this love. But also, even when we fail, the amazing news is that we have life in Jesus. And God desires what's best for each and every one of you. Let me pray, and then we can just hang out for a little bit, all right? God, we thank you for this truth that you love us. Even when we don't feel lovable, even when we don't want what's best for ourselves, even when we turn our backs on you, even in our doubting, in our anger, in our ignorance of just you and your power and your might, God, you love us and you want what's best for us. And ultimately, this will change us, God. We ask that you would transform us by your love. That we would begin to see that you want what's best for us, and that we would allow you to move in our lives. That we wouldn't push back, but that we would just fall in line with your love and your goodness in our lives. Would you help us just all to believe this, to really know this, and come to you as we are, and leave transformed by your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.